I often wonder how I survive my mistakes, suicide attempts, how many tries did it take? Died a million times, but keep rising from Crystal Lake. Deadlier as ever, not even I decide my fate. God given purpose, God given worth. When I'm down to my last penny and my pockets is hurting. When I'm down in a glass of Henny, sorry God, I ain't perfect. I'm still a work in progress, but my progress is working. I started meditating, using rum as a mantra. I keep it with me night and day, like I'm humming Sinatra. Used to keep it with me night and day, just to numb the depression. Throwing my Spotify playlist just to run from the questions. Like, is he really real? Is he really repping? Is it Black Lives Matter against any weapon? Is this all just metaphors and rhetoric about intersections? Is hip-hop really dead? Is this all just intercession? Is this all just intercession? Is this how I really feel? Still afraid of being stuck. All right. Bars. There we go.
Bars.
I'm getting old. I can't remember shit. What up? All right, so this is episode whatever of the What Is TWS podcast. Still got our special guest in town, Mr. 1-3.
Yay, yay.
As always, I am Jay Flan, and we have Rich Nerd in the building. Nerd.
You heard.
All right, so we did actually sit down and come up with some topics for this one. I got to get back to my notes. Where we at? All right, I did.
Yeah, we're back to regularly scheduled programming.
All right, we're going to try to stick to the format this time. Mm-hmm. Mm. I don't know. I guess since everybody just took a drink,
bullets in the system.
Yeah. Since everybody just took a drink, we need to do a brief. What you sipping? I'll start with the bullshit stuff. I got the Great Jamaican Ginger Beer Company ginger beer with this eye patch looking dude on it. I don't know. It don't fit the name like that. I don't see nothing Jamaican about.
Homie looks like a pirate. To be honest,
he looks like a pirate that stole.
He got that 007 comb over, wicked mustache, eye patch.
There's nothing Jamaican about that.
Ain't nothing Jamaican, man.
I don't know. I haven't been to Jamaica, so maybe this dude is walking the street all day. And
I doubt the locals are like that. But we're gonna take a picture of this for the podcast. Boom.
Wow. Well, that's what I'm sipping. What y'all got over there?
We got this.
Bullet 10-year
whiskey.
Sounds great.
That Bullet Frontier whiskey, you already know. It's kind of smooth, though. I like it. I'm double-fisting, though, because I got this Anderson Valley Winter Solstice Seasonal Ale. That's like a long-ass name for a beverage. That was a whole sentence just to say I'm drinking a beer.
Yeah. A fruit brews.
But yeah, earlier today, 1-3 tried to have I think it was a Texas beer, but it was
the Old Dirty Bastard.
Old Dirty Bastard.
Yeah, shit tastes like Old Dirty Bastard.
It probably did.
It had a little too much smoke and peat for him.
Yeah, when I had it though, I liked it, but and I was also drinking with it, like, so I was taking shots of whiskey with it.
Man, it tastes like the sediment of a bum's shoes.
All right, so no advertisement for
Old Dirty Bastard.
All right, so I'm going to go into my rant for this this episode. And basically, you know, as a black man, I think occasionally you learn to depend on racism and you kind of like anticipate it. So my man's coming to town. I'm telling him about Austin. I'm like, don't worry. It ain't a whole lot of us here. You know, maybe if we go out to Pflugerville, we'll see a couple black people, but it ain't going to happen in the city. And so far, everywhere we've went, they just popping up. Maybe they heard 1-3 was in town and was trying to get a glimpse or something. But I done seen more of my folk in the past 2 days than I have in the 4 years I've been here. This man has showed me bars and spots I ain't even know was 6 minutes away from my house.
Out and about.
I'm a native traveler, man.
Austin is making me out a liar, man. I was like, ain't none of us in this city. And I was wronger than them. I've been wrong before. I've been wrong. I'll be wrong again.
That same thing happened to us when Renee's family visited us in New York.
Yeah.
It was like, yo, bet we about to get on this train. So watch out. There's rats everywhere. This shit's as big as cats. You're going to be fucked up out here. Don't let them niggas... Let one of them rats actually with a Tom, don't let them know because they gonna steal your shit. We fucking get on the train, not one rat. Whole week, not one rat She's talking about, y'all talking about New York is dirty. Y'all talking about New York got rats. I don't see nothing over nowhere. New York the very last day, this brolic ass rat up on the track. She's like, oh my fucking God, look at that rat. Did you see it? I was like, yeah, but that's nothing compared to the one that's on the platform behind you, though. Turned around like, oh, shit. I was like, thank you. So, hopefully, before you leave,
all the black people will disappear.
Yeah, they're going to disappear. It's
going to
be
nah, because we're going to Round Rock. Shout out to Pflugerville.
We're going to hit the outlets out in Round Rock. I'm sure we're going to be deep in the Foot Locker.
Yeah.
That's racist. That was wrong.
We need to go. We need to go out there too. I bought the wrong size, and some corduroys. Shout out to corduroys. Some corduroys and a mock neck sweater I got from Ralph. I need to go exchange. I love my mock necks, and I love Ralph. Pause. Yeah. So
you a fashionable dude, Rich? You know.
Man.
If they don't sell it at Target, I probably don't know nothing about it.
I wonder if Ralph loves us.
Nah, he don't. He don't. He don't.
That's why.
But, I love the way this stuff fits me.
White pants society is about to.
I wear this sweater all the time, and I never like. I knew it was a big ass Indian head,
right.
But it never like dawns on me. You wearing a big ass Indian head? Ralph got a big ass Indian head on my sweater. It is what it is, though.
Pause.
Pause.
Oh, man. I just feel like I don't know. We was talking about rants and stuff, and I got a rant, man. I feel like, you know, every day I realize the Matrix was a precursor to today's society. Like, social media is the Matrix. The internet is the Matrix. We are the bodies and the little orbs that are connected to the Matrix that give it power, you know. It's just like the first Matrix when the guy was like, I know the stick doesn't exist, but I like it, and I want to stay here. I want to stay living this false dream, this false reality. And people are stuck in these false realities, and it's so disturbing, man. It's like, you know, even the fact that children, like, know how to use tablets and stuff like that and don't go out and experience, like, real life shit. Like, everything is, we're living life in front of a flat screen instead of going out and doing shit.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a catch 22 though, because on one hand, I miss my childhood. You know what I'm saying? I miss the days where you wanted to holler at your friend, you had to walk to his house, or you were trying to find somebody, you know what I mean? You couldn't necessarily call that person, but you knew where they were going to be. Like, I know this person is going to be at this park at this time. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. When you have real connections, when you have real friends, when the shit was so deep that you knew your brother, your homie, your friend, your pal was going to be at this spot. He knew what you were thinking. You knew what he was thinking. Y'all can link up, go out, run the streets, hang out, play ball, like, do whatever.
Yeah.
And it's not that time anymore, you know what I'm saying? So kids are more comfortable being in the house and living vicariously through the video games. On the other hand, to point out what 1-3 was saying, you know, kids are always on the tabs. I see parents plenty of times, a kid is acting up, give them the iPad, give them the cell phone, do whatever. But at the same time, it's like, in our current society, having those skills are almost,
it's a necessity. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So how do you balance it? You know what I mean? How do you toe the line between educating your child and make sure they have these skills, as opposed to, you know, making them lazy? You know, you have to instill that into them.
You know what, Brother Rich Nerd? The answer is in the question. He said, how do you balance it? Simply by balancing it.
Mm-hmm.
And gotta take the kiddies outside. I learned
it's the parents too. Like, you go to these events.
They don't want
to
do it.
Yeah, but you go to these events and like your child is up there in a school play, and you see like 100 parents with their face behind a screen recording. Like Louis C.K. said, like, put the screen down. I guarantee you the resolution on your child is far better than the resolution on that screen. Just actually be in the moment for a change instead of
trying to capture all the moments. People don't want to live. People do not want to live. One of the things that piss me off all the time is the pictures of people's food when they go out to eat.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't complain too much because I'm one of those people who used to religiously pictures of everything. But I got to the point where it was like, well, shit, let me put this down because this is really fucking good.
Right.
Like, it's right here. Let me enjoy my date. Let me enjoy my time out with my lady. And I'm having a good-ass time. So, I mean, excuse me. A lot of the time, my shit happened, and I wish I had a picture of it. But when I recollect, that memory of what happened means so much more because I got to live that opportunity. You know what I mean? I got to live and cherish that moment. But I would like to want to point, our society is fucked up. Everybody's trapped in their social bubbles.
Because you don't even want the moment. You don't want the moment for yourself. You want the moment so you can show other people that you had the moment. It's all about doing it for the gram.
What's funny is Instagram to me psychologically tells you a lot about a person. Like, I've gone to some people's pages and it's nothing but 1,000 fucking selfies. Like, how many times can you do duck lips and angles on your selfie? Like, if you look at my Instagram, you see different shit. Like, you might see a quote that caught my eye, or I might see a vantage point that most people don't get to see, or just show something cool. I think that, the psychology behind social media is very interesting, even though I feel like it's almost damning to society.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think maybe like 2.5-3 years ago, my Instagram stayed popping. Like, Instagram for me was my outlet. I could like whatever I want. I could repost whatever I want. I stayed writing bars, posting on my bars online, hella hashtags, mad stupid shit. Just like, it was my outlet. And then getting into my relationship is like, you start, you know, thinking about the other person like more and more and more. Like, okay, well, as soon as you go to hit send, it's like, wait, is this gonna piss this person off? You know what I'm saying? So I started censoring myself a lot more. But I think I've been getting to the point where it's like, and censoring myself, is that like, am I forcing myself to conform to society and norms and you know what they mean? And I feel a lot more stressed lately as well, because it's like I'm losing my outlet. You know what I mean? I can't say what I want to say. I can't put out there what I want to put out there. It's not necessarily that I want to put something out there that's detrimental to my relationship. However, different people look at things in different ways. So it's like, do I conform because this person feels this, or should this person realize where I'm coming from and understand that this is not something bad? You know what I mean? So
one of the things I really love about, and I've messed my audio up somehow, I sound crazy right now. One of the things I really love about doing this podcast is that, like, it's helping me remove the filter. Like,
because
I come on here and say pretty much whatever I want to say, and then I put it out for the world to possibly hear, like, in public, like, what's the difference? Like, you know, I'm just talking to one person. I don't care. If I don't care if I offend millions, then why should I care if I offend you? I'm going to say what I feel, or, you know, how I feel wherever I am. So, and I've been an introvert, you know, a real closeted person, don't really speak my mind, but I think a lot of people are hearing a lot more from me these days, and it's probably beneficial to them. They needed to hear what I had to say.
Well, Flame, you always been like a unicorn, like, you know, this motherfucker.
I don't know if I've ever been called a unicorn before.
Man,
I'm gonna take it though.
Fucking unicorn, man. Like, this is one of the only people I know that's just supremely talented and just like will decide that, you know, nobody wants to hear this shit, so I'm gonna keep it to myself. And I'm like, dog, like, you are a unicorn.
Spit it.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm a perfectionist. That's it. That's just it. Like, if I do feel like I'm good at something, like, I don't want to put it out there until I've, like, reached the pinnacle of what I feel that ability is.
I feel
But, you know, I turned the corner.
Super Shot is definitely not
the Super Shot is not my talent.
I mean, you good at it, but I know people. I'm just leaving it at that.
All right. We're going to test that out. We're going to see who you know. But, yeah, this podcast has been one of those times where I turned that corner and was like, right, we just going to do it. And we're going to learn on the fly. We're going to put out that first episode. And that one was all right. Second episode was trash. And somewhere around the third, fourth episode, we started figuring it out.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's how I felt when you know, we started the whole RDG thing, man. It's like the drive to do it is so strong that, you know, with all the everything that's encompassed in trying to create something, you just never know, like, what's actually going to happen, but you have to believe in the skills and the ability of those you involving in your task and your own knowledge, and just like, if I don't do this now, it's never going to happen. Yeah. And
I think that's the point that we reached. We were talking about this for so long, and it's like, well, you know how to do this, and I know how to do this, and collectively, we damn sure can learn how to do this.
Right, so figure it out.
Let's not even have the conversation. Like, we've been pushing it, talking for so long. Like, fuck it. We're not going to learn anything more about how to do this unless we officially do it.
Well, I can say for the majority of 11 years, this man has watched me do exactly what he's doing now. It's crazy that I'm on this side of the... I'm on the mic and he's behind the boards. That's crazy, man. It's awesome to see that. It's awesome to see how things have a karmic circle about them.
Yeah. It always comes full circle. Yeah,
before you leave, we're definitely going to need some pointers.
Oh, hey, absolutely. Oh, man.
I should have brought my laptop.
What's up, world? What's up, purveyors of TWS? It's good to be here. I hope I can... We reached the point where I can come in via Skype or
yeah, we're gonna have to get that
yeah, we need to get it. We need to get the
get that going, get that pop.
That'll be dope if we can have a cast or the DC mob or a New York mob, mm-hmm. or whatever.
It's programs, and it's a way where we can plug it in to where it can still route through
the
interface. We just haven't played with it yet, so. Putting the miles on the 200.
Yeah.
Thinking about getting rid of her, though.
Really?
Yeah. So, Fiat Chrysler Auto Group officially canceled out or ended the Chrysler 200 line, I think, on Friday. So, they pushed the last one that they're ever going to make across the line. They are no longer manufacturing the Chrysler 200, the Dodge Dart, and some other ones. So it's like, all right, time to get a new car.
Yeah, y'all speaking that language that I don't know.
Basically, I don't want to drive anything that's not in current production.
Nah, I feel you.
You know what I mean? Because I don't know when they're going to change up warranties and stop support for my vehicle. I mean, I wanted something new anyway, but still.
Shout out to the American cars. I'm an American car lover.
I'm not even going to get into it because I looked at your Facebook page and it kind of pissed me off because you got the car that I was going to get.
Oh, shit.
But I had to pull back a little bit because,
like, where is Rich going with this
family,
one?
Family, right. Pause because family matters, but yeah.
Shout out to Michelle resting in the garage right now.
Man, if Renee... So we got to get... First of all, we need a second car.
Right.
Because we work in two different places. And I'm doing double duty right now. But if we could swing it and somehow I got to walk away with a 2017 Dodge Charger.
Oh, yeah.
SRT. Not even SRT. If I can get the... I can't even go Hellcat right now. My pockets is not even there. Mm. If I can get a Scat Pack, I'm good. I'm good with a Scat Pack. I'm good with an RT.
Do y'all notice how silent I am right now?
I'm good with an RT. If I can get a Charger Scat Pack, more power to me. If I somehow finagled a way to get a Hellcat, nigga.
I was looking at one.
So I'm a freestyle this episode because since we own cars, That just made me think me and this man here have had some legendary experiences in multiple vehicles, starting with the old school.
Oh yeah,
way back
the '87.
Cadillac. Just want y'all to know that Jared, Mr. Flynn, is definitely gonna expound on him and 1-3 having legendary experiences in vehicles.
Oh yeah,
we gonna explain that. Okay. Yeah, my bad. It's not what you're thinking. We gonna explain that.
My bad.
Man, we grown ass men in here. Oh, nobody, we wasn't even thinking like that. You knew.
You not the listeners are.
Oh man.
So I was gonna ask
the hopeful listener. I hope y'all listeners.
I was gonna ask my brother here to give his top three J Flan moments.
You know, I'm a kinda go. It's kind of, well, I'll give you three wild moments only if I can give three other moments, three counter moments. All
right.
Because it's like, I can't just say three things that could possibly be considered embarrassing to my brother without getting three.
This is going to be Flan moments episode. I got a few moments too.
Yeah, okay.
So this is going to be the moments.
I'm going to fire back. Don't think I'm just going to sit here and
take it. So.
This is going to be the moments episode.
So I'm going to start with, I'm going to do it in chronological order. So Flan and I met at work. Long story short, we became fast friends and, you know, we definitely had the music in common and IT in common. You know, and so at the time, a person he was dealing with was just in fucking sane.
Yeah.
Insane. And somehow she got my phone number and literally called me. She had to call me. It was over 30 times.
Shit.
And played on my phone. And I was like, what the fuck kind of Twilight Zone shit is this?
Time out. Didn't you guys meet in like 09, 11?
Yeah, yeah.
We talking before unlimited calling. This was on the you had to have free nights and weekends or family plan or some shit like that.
It's the same joint that ran up a $4,000 bill on me, yeah.
Yeah.
The fact that she did, oh shit, that was before free calling.
And this is the same one that stole the man badge at work.
And I worked at the Pentagon. Stole my badge.
She could have got shot for that shit, you know. Because you, anyway,
was the cutty that good?
It wasn't that.
It was.
She had some other skills though.
Yeah. But you know that's not even
a
really.
Head detective.
I'm gonna say this.
She was a pro on the mic.
So, one of my favorite stories is the time I got to play doctor. We was riding in the caddy. We had a lot of great stories in that Cadillac.
But this was after the Super Bowl party. Was it
the Super Bowl party?
I think it was the Super Bowl. This was when we was playing questions. Me, you, know. Devin, and
Black
Jesus.
I think it was me, you, and Black Jesus. And so I'm driving Flan home, and he's getting out the car to go in the house, and you know, if anybody knows anything about Cadillacs and old school Cadillacs, the doors are heavy as shit on the Cadillac. So, you know, he's getting out the car, and the car door flings him.
Now, it's not that I'm that frail. I did not have all my
faculties
at this particular moment, and the car door took advantage of that.
So he kind of stumbled backwards and met an ill fate with the pavement of the driveway. So I'm like, oh my God, there's blood everywhere.
And Reyes don't do blood.
I'm a violent person when I need to be, but when I'm not in a violent mood, I can't, like the sight of blood is just, it's skin curdling to me, and I had to like nurse this man, his wounds, and I had to go to drive across town to my other friend's house to get medical supplies and doctor the man, carry him up steps, and then it's just funny because it's like the next day we had a conversation like, yeah, and I told him this wild ass lie like, man, we went to this restaurant and got into a fight.
Yeah, he told me we was at Burger King and dude got out of pocket and you was like, he got that one off on you, but then you you handled him after that. And I was like, yeah, word, Red, word. Word. I got in a fight at Burger King? Okay. As anybody knows me knows that I'm not a fighter. Man. I don't even pretend to be.
So another one, another great, one of the greatest flame moments, shit, is when we had, I used to have these tattoo parties in my house that lasted for like 4 days straight. Now imagine a party that lasted for 4 days straight.
Yeah, that's wild.
And there were several of them. And I mean, long story short, it was so much to that shit. I don't even know where to start, man. I love this man. I love this motherfucker, man. That's all I can say, man. It's just, yeah, we had a lot of wild ass stories.
It was a lot of pictures circulating to me with a bucket around my neck.
They were trying to
catch the drool when I started nodding.
You know what? Fuck that. I'm gonna tell you, it's so many of those stories that like, that's just fucking never mind that. My greatest story, my greatest three flan episodes, my greatest three, y'all, just hearing them spit for the first time. Like the first time we got in a studio and, you know, this is my bedroom at my mom's house.
It's the back cave.
The back cave. I got a little computer that I built from scratch, my first Pro Tools, a little shitty ass $200 mic. You know,
he said
shitty $200 mic. Yeah, like
you probably add all these mics up in
shit.
I mean, but you know, just hearing somebody with a passion and a skill for real poetry and real rhyme skills, man, I just like, you know, no lie, I became his number one fan because it's like, you know, this guy is super talented. Like, these words are just like magic. And people, I feel like in today's music, people don't understand how delivery, word selection, word choice really plays a part in
not at all
how you receive not the music. I mean, because Jay, let's, for instance, and shout out to Jay-Z, today's your birthday. Jay-Z says the same shit that all these other rappers says, but he has the panache, he has the swagger, he has the vocabulary and the delivery to do it in a different way. Say the same exact things, same but do shit. It in a more...
Jay's wordplay is there. Yeah, it's there.
Absolutely. And you know, I thought that was dope till I heard Jay Flan spit. So
you gonna make me cry? Nah.
You know,
I really do appreciate that, man. That means a lot coming from you.
Another thing is just, you know, this guy has always had a set of values that have been uncompromised to me, and just, you know, seeing him as being his best man at his wedding and just seeing him, you know, stay true to what he believes in is probably one of the biggest things for me. You know, like, he always says all this bullshit about me doing this and doing that and just, you know, whatever, but...
You got more jobs than a Jamaican.
Hey.
But and none of them is entry level.
But I mean, just seeing the guy that sticks behind his morals and beliefs, and you know, that means a lot to me because, you know, even if though I'm a little older and a little bit more world experience, like just seeing how somebody talks the shit that they believe in, and you know, I say when it comes to loyalty, he's second to none. When it comes to standing behind what you believe in, second to none. You know, and just, that's a dope motherfucker, man. And now seeing him do this, like, honestly, when he told me he was doing this, it was like, all right. You know, a lot of people say they're going to do shit, but, man, here we are.
TWS. I'm saying to actually do it, and that was the vision.
Yeah.
Stop talking about shit
and just do it.
All right, so, but I got a special request. I need you to do the wash the cars.
So funny story. We're on vacation. We're on the holiday, as they call it, and we've been sipping a bit, and we had a nice beachfront little property, condo, 3-bedroom condo. So we're playing spades. And this poor young lady just was not grasping the concept of the spades game. And without delay, without hesitation, and with perfect timing, an uninhibited flame says, "Bitch, watch the cards." Cause she kept asking, what am I supposed to do? How do you play? And she said it. She's like, okay, what am I supposed to do now? What am I supposed to do now? What am I supposed to do now? And I guess the man just had enough.
Was she on your team?
And she was.
I said that shit too. You can't be out here reneging and shit.
I said, bitch, watch the cards. And a gasp took place, and everybody
fell
like,
over the curtain.
Oh, hey, that was funny as shit.
And we talked about that on an episode we didn't air, because that was during, like, the next day. She was like, you know, you called me a bitch. And I'm like, oh shit, my bad. You know,
man, I wish you guys.
I kind of liked it though.
I wish you guys would have came when we weren't moving. We'd have had a big ass party, some fucking spades, all types of shit, just to, like, fuck it, just to reconnect.
Yeah.
I just talking about Renee like yesterday. I was like, damn, we got half our shit in the old place, half our shit in a new place. Can we have a dinner party anyway? I don't know how that works, but just to do some shit, because we're that couple that we like to be surrounded by love.
Yeah.
Like to have fun, like to do shit. Jared already knows I love to be in the kitchen, which is what Renee loves. Every day, what you cook. I made some fucking pasta with vodka sauce tonight just because I was in the house by myself.
Oh shit!
On some fucking regular shit. So
you know, that, definitely I think, good reason. I think that's one of the things that you know, from my experiences with this crazy man right here, is like, I think the baseline level of it is reality and being real. I mean, like, when I first met him and we started, like, we didn't really know each other. We kind of grew. Our friendship kind of started with the music.
Yeah.
And then it grew. It's like, oh, nah, man, this is my fucking brother. You know what I mean? And I think the basis for that is just, and listeners, I want y'all to understand, like, no matter your color, creed, religion, or whatever, it starts from a basic having
a mutual understanding
and just having an affinity for each other. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I didn't become Flan's friend because he had something that I needed or wanted, or because he was cool to other people. It was just like, I respect this man for being himself. Like, and that was the whole mantra behind RDG as a crew of people, you know what I mean, on a music tip. It's like, I always stress, like, be yourself. Like, nobody, like, you don't even understand the hood motherfuckers love Jay Flan. Like, the killers and the drug dealers love Jay Flan just because he come with, he's him, you know what I mean? And, like, people, the people that's really out here trying to make moves respect that shit more than somebody trying to act like they hard.
They love someone. If you're going to be genuine That's all. That's it. That's all you need. I don't need no fake shit.
I mean, that's
shit,
that's what made it a family environment when we was doing all that stuff. Is that like, you know, I don't pretend to be, you know, from a background that I'm not from. And when I got around, and I ain't trying to say Reg is like, you know, super thug or nothing, but you know, Reg and G, and you know, a lot of they had a different background. I was coming to the studio in suits from the White House. Like, I'm showing up to do these, you know, these rap records, you know, and we rapping about all kinds of shit.
I'm laughing because I'm picturing you showing up in a three-piece and these niggas got fucking jeans and shit. Oh,
this is exactly what was happening. I was coming in fresh from the White House, full suit with the badges, mm-hmm. and we was all rapping together. We all in there having a good time. We all, you know, talking, sharing stories, sharing experiences. All the records was dope because it would be like three or four distinct, you know, points of view.
Right.
But, you know, nobody stepping on nobody else. Nobody, you know. But that's what enamored me to the whole situation was that mm-hmm. it was someplace where, you know, because when you think about rap, especially back then, like, this is pre-Ye. Like, it didn't feel like it was a place for something that wasn't, you know, it wasn't Jay-Z, that wasn't gangster, that wasn't money or whatever. You know, it didn't feel like there was a spot for that. But then, you know, being around some dudes that wasn't necessarily talking about the same things I was talking about, but was, you know, when I got up there and said what I had to say, they were like, that's dope, keep doing that. They wasn't going to switch their style to try to do what I was doing, and they didn't want me to switch my style to do what they was doing. But we just all,
the fact that we made it blend. Somewhere in the middle, that's what's up.
And don't get it mistaken. This man thinks just because he's a family man that we not expecting any more Jay Flam bars. But I, on the other hand, feel like this is the perfect time to hear bars from a man, a family man, a husband and a father. Like, we need those type of bars because, you know, like, the misogyny of rap is a byproduct for real. Like, rap didn't start in that place and it don't have to end in that place. Just so y'all understand, all those people that talk shit about rap music, we just kind of got unfocused, but we gonna bring it back. Shout out to J. Cole.
Yeah. We gonna get to J. Cole, but I gotta tell some 1-3 stories, and I got rich stories too.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
I got some fun stories too. So I think that and he's talking about when you guys met, and it reminds me, like, You are correct. Like, this is a real ass dude.
Right.
We met at a trade show. Yeah. And I was subcontracting at the trade show. And literally, our first conversation within the 30 minutes, like, yo, listen, you're a cool ass dude. You know, that's what's up. You thinking about applying to this company? Don't do it.
Yeah, I was like, they like you. They're going to make you an offer.
Yeah, within
I'm going to tell you to.
First conversation, we hit it off. We clicked. He was like, yeah, this is a nigga I can fuck with. I'm like, yeah, this is a nigga I can fuck with. Pause. And I was like, you know what? Don't do it. Already looking out. So it's true.
I wasn't going to deny the man an opportunity. I'm like, they're going to make you an offer.
Right.
I can tell you right. I mean, they asked me about you. I'm not going to try to not let you get the job because I don't want you to fuck up and end over here. Right, you know, but they say what I think about you. I'm like, I think he's more than capable. He can do the job. I'm like, they're going to make you an offer. I'm just going to give you all the information.
Right. And let you
decide. let you decide whether you want to come over here. Like, if you want to come, great, because we could use more people like you, you know, but it's not
what you think it is.
Don't let these people sell you that dream, bro.
Exactly. I mean, we're at the point where it is what it is, but I can't complain because the white pants society came from that. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, I truly believe people are put in your life at a particular time for a particular reason.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those reasons. You know what I mean? And my fiance and I, we moved here. Next week, we'll be here 2 years.
Wow.
You know what I mean? We legit moved here. Gave up everything in New York. Sold shit. Threw shit away. Gave shit away. Moved here. Sleeping on my sister-in-law's couch. Homeless. Didn't have shit to our own. From that to having our own house to fucking our own vehicle to good ass jobs. You know what I'm saying? So I can't complain. And I think part of that reason was facilitated through knowing Flynn, because he put me on. He told me what it was in the beginning, so I was able to sort of navigate the waters a little bit better. You know what I mean?
Right,
so
absolutely, absolutely.
But that's, I mean, that a lot of that came from that situation, you know, that I had that foundation that was built, you know, back in the Batcave, you know, being around dudes and just knowing, you know, if you take care of your people won't always take care of you.
Absolutely.
And if you look like, if you look at people as like family and you treat them like family, you know,
that's the thing that the dudes these days don't realize, like that real connection.
Yeah.
Like when you was on a block with your peoples back in the day, like I'm an 80s baby, I'm born in 83, you know what I mean? That connection that we used to form back in the day, it's not what it is today.
Well, it was real
friendships.
I got that shit from my mother. My mother is a triple OG, man, and she always told me, you know, if you claiming somebody is your peoples, if that's your homie or that's your, like my mom used to, like when we were in high school fucking up, my mom used to like give us all kinds of bullshit. I mean, not bullshit, but she used to catch us doing all kinds of bullshit and just spit some real ass shit to us. And it's like even the grimiest of grimy motherfuckers respected my mother, because she used to like, y'all out here smoking and doing all this shit, you better take your ass to school. But then she'd make us sandwiches and shit, because she know we high as a motherfucker. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
That was love, though. That was love.
Now, since we talking about love, one story in particular that I started to talk about the parties that lasted for 4 days. This one particular time, some wild shit happened, and I had to take this man home. And the next day, you know, it hit me like, damn, all that shit happened, and you still called to check on me. I'm like, dog, that's what brothers do for each other. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
This was the infamous chicken slap.
The chicken slap. Oh, this motherfucker, man. And it all started over a conversation. What was it? Was it Tupac and Biggie?
Tupac and Biggie. That's what I told
you. I knew it either had to be Tupac and Biggie or Jay-Z and Nas.
This was Tupac.
Tupac Shakur.
Yeah, so do not ever listen to me. If y'all want to see the wild man come out of this motherfucker, tell him that Nas is better than Jay-Z or Tupac is better than Biggie, and it's going to be all kinds of hell to pay.
Yeah, I apologize to that young lady.
Fuck her. I don't even know who she was. Man, you wasted some good ass.
I wasted the chicken, man.
Not only just chicken, but the Murray's. Do they even have Murray's down here?
No, I don't think we have Murray's.
So you legit smacked her with what?
I smacked the chicken out of her hand. Oh, I'm talking about chicken party wings. Murray's party wings are something to behold. Like, they are a staple in and of themselves.
Hold on. Has he had Gordo's since he's been here?
He hadn't had Gordo's. I mean, but if you were like, this is
Rolling Rooster?
He hadn't had Rolling Rooster. But this is the home studio environment.
What's the other one?
Gus's, yeah.
Y'all ain't fucking with shit since y'all been here. Damn.
It's never enough time, bro.
They helped us put the party together. And then they babysitted the day so my wife and I can get out to a movie.
I bet. So tomorrow's the last day.
Hey, yeah, tomorrow's. Actually, it's the last day because we got to be on the plane at 11. So.
Oh, 11 a.m.? I thought it was 3.
Somebody got the information wrong.
Oh, shit.
We're not going.
So what's popping for tomorrow?
Everything.
Y'all got to hit some shit tomorrow.
Yeah, he got the pass. He got the pass, so not that he needed one. I ain't gonna put him out there like that.
Gordo's is the shit. I'm not gonna front.
Gordo's is
like Torchy. Shout out to fucking Torchy's.
Oh my motherfucking god.
Torchy's. Listen. Let me tell you something. After I came here the first time for his wedding, I called Torchy's. I called their corporate offices and told them they at least need a food truck in D.C.
Something. Get out there.
See, something. Neither one of y'all have been to Taco Deli, though. You haven't
been, I've been to Taco Deli. Taco Deli is the shit.
All right, all right.
What I'm saying, though, is for some fast food type shit, yeah. not even for some fast... Torchy's is on another level.
Yeah, Torchy's. Shout out to Torchy's.
This shit is flavorful.
And shout out to their secret menu, because I'm going to see about that for Ali.
Can't front, though. Taco Deli got some shit.
Taco Deli got the gourmet joints.
Taco Deli got some shit.
Their tacos is smaller, but they're... They're
more robust.
See, that's the only thing. They're fucking tiny and shit. I got an appetite.
Yeah.
I got an appetite.
You got to get like at least three Taco Deli tacos.
So yeah, so we were talking about episodes of genuine brotherhood. So Flynn, you said you got some 1-3. You got some 1-3 stories.
I got some 1-3 stories.
Oh man.
Oh man. All right. So you know I got to tell the one. Cause it, so this is my brother, like this is my brother, like like we brothers to the point we don't, you know, we're not blood in any sort of kind of way, but we've exchanged IDs,
right,
like you know, I think they actually believed you was my brother at the State Department,
probably,
yeah, they actually believed you was my brother there, but so yeah, I got nothing to fear from this man, but when there's levels, like Reg can get to 10. And I, you know, and I know that Reg, and I'm like, all right, you know, he just at 10. I'm gonna sit here. I suggest y'all don't fuck with him, but you know, I feel safe. But there's another level, and even though I don't have no reason to not feel safe, because every time I've been like, shit, he might be talking to me, let me dip. I find out that he, you know, yeah. So let me tell the whole story. So we was always in the studio, and he would have these parties, and of course, you know how it is, Rich. Like everybody's a rapper. Like just everybody's rap. So this one particular time, was the Tyrannosaurus Rex joint in there?
That was all of them at the same time. And so, then the man that kept pacing through my house on the phone kept going, locking himself in my bathroom.
See, it was a lot of legitimate, like weirdos. real hood weirdos.
That's weirdos. a good term, hood weirdos.
So we're in there, and this one dude is like, yeah, I can rap. You gotta let me on the mic, Reg. You gotta let me on the mic. So we're like, all right, he ain't gonna shut up unless we do it. So go ahead, brother. Go ahead, you know, get what you gotta get out. So he got a beer in his hand. And I don't remember nothing else that he said, but that one line just, I got murder on my mind and I ain't feeling fine. I got murder on my mind, but I ain't feeling fine. And so he just was spitting that over and over again. And at this point, I think, Reg, you had graduated beyond that $200 mic. Mm. So I don't know how much that mic that was up there cost, plus all the other equipment
right.
that was in the studio. And maybe like the 15th time he hit that murder on my mind joint, just he had more on his mind and it all decided to come out at the same time. Yeah. The nigga just
fucking Earl, like projectile,
oh no,
spit beer.
Did he hit the mic?
Nah, but he hit the mic. He hit the speakers, the monitors and the everything.
Wall and...
And I just lost my shit.
Man. He lost it. It was everybody out. He went from mildly annoyed to just like, y'all got a few seconds before I reach for something. And everybody out.
Man, I feel the same way. Like, I hate.
But this is the funny shit. Yeah. So I'm like, everybody get the fuck out.
Yeah, so I'm grabbing my shit. And I'm trying to find a nigga to get a ride.
Fuck you, boy. Like, get your ass
out. Sit your ass down.
That shit was crazy.
Yeah, I was in that joint scram. I was trying to find, Nick, can I get a ride with you? Can I get a ride with you? Like, Sam, Flynn, sit your ass down.
I hate when people fucking my shit, though. So I feel where the anger came from.
Murder on your mind.
I hate when people touch my shit.
I had murder on my fucking mind, and I wasn't feeling fine at all. I'm a alley-oop Flynn one of these, the first Slick Rick concert. Midget.
They mean little person.
I'm sorry.
First of all, I gotta set the stage.
I'm sorry. It's the bullet talking.
I gotta set the stage because I don't think.
Bullet.
I got a disclaimer. I meant little person.
Little person. So I gotta set the stage because if you're not from.
Yeah, this shit is strong. Like, I had two and a beer. I'm trying not to drink a lot because I'm about to roll out.
Yeah,
got picked the misses up
in an hour and a half, but actually an hour and a half, but shit.
Hey, but I got to set the stage because if you're not from the DMV, if you've never been to Baltimore or the areas of Baltimore we talking about, you might not understand the environment that we was in. So we
shout out to Baltimore, the weirdest place that I love.
Weirdest place in the world.
This shit is 91.2 proof.
When they got to put the 1.2 on it, and when they just can't stop at 90, something wrong. But we in Baltimore. We
Sonar.
That's right. We in Sonar to see Slick Rick, because my man Reg is like the ultimate Slick Rick fan. So when I heard he was coming to town, I'm like, man, we gotta go. So we go out to Sonar. You got the close up of the bullet. Am I saying it right?
Yep, bullet.
So, and Sonar is right around the corner from the Strip in Baltimore. So when I say the Strip, it's a street. It's one street, and on both sides, this is like their red light district. It's like right next to the police station. It's
downtown.
And it's just like
Baltimore Street, I believe, with all the strip clubs.
It's like strip club, gun store, liquor store.
Norma Jeans. Yeah. All of that.
We stepped into one of them joints, and I think it was a chick like stripping on the bar. We was like, yeah, I'm good.
She was the only one, and she was looking malnourished.
Yeah, I'm good. We went into the one spot that had like the New York, it was like a hallway. It had like a New York fried chicken.
Oh, yeah.
And then it was like a sex shop. And it was like a knife store.
Knife store. And then you could buy bullets in the back or some shit.
Welcome to the DMV.
That shit was crazy. So we in the Slick Rick show. And we like to get up close. So we like right on the stage. And so, you know, it was a little person in the crowd. So Reg being the gentleman that he is, you know, she's a little person. He's like, yo, you can go ahead and stand in front of me.
Yeah.
You know, so that you can see the stage. You're not blocking my view at all. So go ahead and get up close. And so she was up there, and I guess, you know, she decided to return the favor. So next thing I know,
she put that little big booty on my knees.
The little, I don't even know what to call it, little lady.
Little lady.
She was grinding. She was giving it all she had.
Put little lady pants right on my shin.
She was giving it all she had.
She gave it all she had.
You ain't had no stains on your shin or nothing.
Nah, but I'm gonna tell you what you don't know.
Oh.
Later on that night, I returned to Baltimore.
Oh, man. Oh,
little loving.
We getting the whole story now.
Nah, I ain't getting no little loving because she was on her little time or whatever.
Okay.
Her little time. But I go in her house, true story. She had an assortment of ladders. And like in her house, like different ladders. Like she had like the tall ladders in the kitchen. She had like the medium sized ladders in her living room. And then like her bed was like a baby doll bed. It was like, I was like, oh shit. I almost fucked the bed up. Like, oh, I tried to sit on the bed, and, like, the bed was so low that you know how you try to sit on something and it's lower than you anticipate, and so you kind of drop. You drop down on it. And I damn near broke her bed because it was like a Barbie bed or something. And then she was like, she had this big ass, I don't know what the fuck kind of, I never even seen a woman with a pad that big. Like, what the fuck is this? Like, this shit look like a motherfucking diaper. I was like, oh, man, you small, and you got a diaper on? I'm like, I gotta get out of here.
And now you know the rest of the story.
The rest of the story. But she was cool as shit for them 20 minutes of freaking me on my knees, that hour.
Hey, man, she was working. I saw her work. We went out to see Slick Rick again. We got the interview on.
Oh, yeah.
You still talk to... I was getting ready to call him Tufts, but
I don't, but I mean, I do every now and then. You know, shout out to Slick Rick and shout out to the people that played a part me meeting Slick Rick, because it was cool. Like, I hung out with him a lot of times after that.
It was crazy just sitting there listening to, like, Slick Rick and full jewelry with the pinky ring is like sitting three or four inches off his finger, but he talking about going to PTA meetings and picking up his kids from school and stuff like that.
And being genuinely concerned about his kid being involved in the military and, you know, dying for no real cause. So, and I gained a lot of respect shout out to Slick Rick, man. I gained a lot of respect to know that one of my idols, one of my only idols, is a very base person. Oh, yeah. That was cool, man. That was cool as shit.
I didn't know you made a return trip.
Yeah, I did on the low. No pun intended.
On the low.
On the low. It was funny is my first film job that I ever had was for a little people show. I'm not going to say the name of it because I want to keep that low.
I mean, it's not that many little people. The first one
that's a lot of them now. It's a lot of little people shows.
The first one that popped in my mind was that one big little people show, and I ain't going to
mention it. Oh, yeah, the big Little People Big World. No, that's mine was a spinoff of that. And those little people are mean. Why are you little people so mean to each other? Why are you so spiteful? That's wrong. Like,
oh man, I'm getting all kinds of images. I need. Nah,
they were so mean to each other. Like their big heads was rocking and shit. But you know, the one thing I do love though is I say this, man. The motherfucking little people got the fat. Hey, shout out to all the little people women, because y'all got the fattest ass proportions. Like, you can't even, like, these women getting these ass implants can't touch y'all. Y'all still got the best proportions. You got like 6 inches of ass and on 2 feet of body. So that's like a 1/4. Like 1/4 of your body is ass. And head. Damn. And head.
Oh, heavy ass.
Oh, and forehead.
Yeah, we definitely putting this episode out.
I don't know if we can put the other episode out. We got to get our fan base up, because we're going to lose some after
that. Nah, that's the, you know what you do? You got to do a double episode.
All
right. This happened, but then this happened right afterwards.
Yeah.
I'm only here for 2 episodes. I'm gonna say this, man. Love is love, man. Stop being fucking. Stop worrying about what people gonna think. Just deal with shit as it is. That's always been my mantra in life. Like, don't try to worry about what's socially acceptable. Like, look inside yourself first and see what it is you believe in. And when you deal with people from the perspectives of things that you believe in for yourself. And, you know, some people not going to be for you. And then some people are. And then, you know, the bonds that you connect by being completely centered in what you believe in, those are the bonds that'll stick with you for life. So don't even worry about it. Everything ain't for everybody. Even when you're the president of the United States, it's going to be 50% of the people for you, 50% of the people that's not for you. So you can't even worry about that shit. White, black, or other.
That's what's up.
Christian, Muslim, or other. Whatever. Because I done motherfucking took care of grown-ass men because for simply out of the love that I have for these people, we done been in fucked up situations, broke, drunk, fucked up, in bad states of mind, and for women that I'm friends with. And it just, you know, at the end of the day, it's like after the 10th time you done did this shit, you like, man, I love this motherfucker. That's all it is. That's the only reason I can say that I continue to do what I do. It's just simply for the love, man. We got a band together to make it through this bullshit.
And there's some bullshit coming.
There's some bullshit coming. But you know what? Shout out to Donald Trump. And I know people gonna hate me for saying that shit, but I feel like it's some good that's gonna come out of this shit. I feel like it's some good that's gonna come out of this shit.
Yeah.
We coming right up on the hour. You wanna break it off and... How much time we got? You got like another 45 minutes or something though?
Yeah, it is what it is. Right. Trying to see if we can bust another one out, that's why.
Man, let's bust some shit out.
Pause.
I'm grown.
All right. So we're going to come back. We're going to have Reg here for another episode. We're going to come back. You know, let y'all enjoy the marinate on those real Hollywood stories. And we'll be back with another one. So, again... TTCharities.org. I'm gonna keep shouting them out. My man Tavares Taylor, check out his charity webpage. Donate if you can. Every little bit helps. Let's take care of each other. Let's support each other.
Listen. I got a public service announcement real quick. How much time we got? We got a couple seconds, like 30 seconds.
Yeah, go ahead.
Listen. If she seems too young, she's too young.
She is.
Listen, don't touch the butt. Listen. If you just feel like you don't like the vagina, it's okay to not like vagina. I applaud you for admitting that you don't like vagina. You know, you just don't have to, like go all, be all wild with it. You know what I'm saying? You ain't gotta be super flaming with the shit.
Was that an LGBTQ commercial?
Yeah, I love the LGBTQ commercial. Shout out to the LGBTQ commercial because I get a lot of love in that community because I keep it real and I show them love without feeling like, you know, somebody trying to touch my booty. Because they not going to touch my booty. You know what I'm saying?
And on that note,
I'm going to end it with check out whatistws.com.
Whatistws.com.
We out, chill. We out here.
Shout out to the
Rainbow Society. You heard?
We love y'all.
All right. Peace.